I will read this. It wasn't part of my planned message, but I want to share these three verses, and then I want us to pray. I want us to pray for the precious people who are in harm's way. I think about the islands. They're just swept clean. And so many hurting people. I went through this during the Harvey scenario just how many days ago? And then again, and I go back to this passage of Scripture in Psalm 46. Listen to these three verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Yes, we could continue. But in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I just needed to be reminded again and again where my refuge was. It doesn't matter what may happen around us or even to us. Our God is faithful. Amen? You know about that faithfulness, don't you? You know. Would you pray with me? Father, we bow before you in this moment, feeling our frailty and realizing how tenuous our life is. Father, we pray that you would give to each one of us here right now and to our brothers and sisters across this land and around this world the ability to know. To truly know that you are our refuge, you are our sanctuary, you are our strength, you are our help. And Father, I thank you for how you come to us in our time of need and how you awaken us even in our complacency to our desperate condition and need for you. Lord, awaken your people today. Awaken your people that they might know that you are not only faithful, but Lord, we need you in our life and we need what only you can give. Father, we call upon you to be present with those who are in harm's way. Lord, I'm asking you not only to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, be their courage, be their strength, be their comfort. But Lord, for those who do not know you, those who have never been awakened to their desperate need for a Savior, Father, use the circumstances of this day to awaken people across this land to their need for a Savior. Father, I pray that you would raise up your people and allow us to arise to the challenge and be found faithful and present to share the good news of Jesus and what he has come to do in our life and in our world. Lord, Lord, be God. Be God in our lives. Help us to turn from idolatry and the worship of self and stuff. Oh, Lord, help us to bow before you in total humility and brokenness and acknowledge honestly how desperate we are for you. Oh, Father, thank you for what you're going to do in the midst of the storms of life. So, Lord, do your work. Do your work in hearts and minds and churches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I ask you to consider with me a passage of Scripture that I have shared a number of years ago. And I go back to it today because it's just so timely. And I want to speak with you about the storms of life. And the passage of Scripture that I take you to is found in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter. We want to look at verses 35 through 41. I ask you to consider with me a very simple yet very powerful life lesson from the Lord himself. This is a scenario, this is a scene that is taking place. Our Lord is in the midst of the crowd, the group there, but my goodness, did they fear for their life. You follow with me in Scripture as we look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and I begin my reading at verse 35. It says, "On the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of this sea.' And now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" The storms of life are certain. Storms in your life are sure to come. That's the first simple life lesson. Jesus faced storms in his life. Not only did he face this little storm, this little windstorm, And the disciples would not have called it a little wind storm. They would have considered it a rather radical thing that they were out on the water and the storm, this windstorm, is blowing against the boat such that the waves are filling the boat with water. And they are scared. They just know that if something doesn't happen, that they're going to sink. They're going to die. And so here we have the master in the stern of the boat asleep on a pillow. But this is a storm in his life. But it's just one kind of storm. Our Savior faced many storms in his life. Storms not of wind and water, but storms of choice and consequence. He was in the midst of storms with his disciples. Some of those men failed. They made a choice, a wrong choice, and the consequence brought disaster to their lives. Our Savior was in the midst of a crowd of men and women when other choices were made. And you can read the Gospels how the Savior himself was with people. Everywhere he went, he was with them, and the people were suffering in a storm of their life because of poor choices they'd made. Have you ever made a poor choice and faced a storm? Do you know what a storm is like in life? I bet you do. But listen, not only are the storms sure to come, and you say, "Well, man, I've been through some tough ones." Well, could I share with you, you've got some more tough ones coming? It's just a matter of time, brother. It is just a matter of time, sister. You're going to face more storms. Now, we need to understand that not only are the storms sure to come, I mean, storms in life, they're just certain. But the storms in life are caused. They're caused. Something causes these storms. The scripture says in verse 37, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling." A great windstorm arose, and there are storms that are going to arise in your life. The question is, what causes the storms in our life? Some storms are caused because of our willful rebellion. I say willful there. I'm thinking of the Hebrew word pshah. It was a word. It's found heavily in the minor prophets. Amos is one. He talked about how the people knew what God's word said, but willfully chose not to do what God's word says. Are you walking in willful disobedience? Do you know that is rebellion against God? To know what the word of God says and to fail to do it is rebellion. It's pshah. It's willful defiance of known authority. That's how you would define it. The willful defiance of known authority. It's like you tell your child, sit down and be quiet. And your child looks to you and says, why? Sit down, son, and be quiet. But I don't want to. And that is just, his heart is not in being quiet. He doesn't understand. But did you know as adults, we do the same thing. The word of God tells us how we should live our life. It speaks in detail about how to be in a right relationship with God. And we refuse to do what it says. Well, the consequence of willful rebellion is disastrous in a believer's life. And it is disastrous in an unbeliever's life. Because God only asks of us to do what He knows is best for us. He doesn't take joy. He doesn't take the good away from us. He doesn't want to punish you. He wants to reward you with peace, joy, love. And I could go on down the list. God wants to come into your life. He wants to permeate every aspect of your life so that whatever the storm may be that you will face it with Him. But when you refuse to embrace the Lord, when you refuse and reject to obey what He's told us to do what He said, then friend, you're severing, you are destroying that relationship that would bring peace, calm, sleep to you in the midst of your storm. How is it that Jesus was able to lay Himself down on a pillow and sleep in the midst of a storm like that? Could it be that He was so close with the Father, and that He and the Father had everything together, and Jesus knew it wasn't His time to die? He knew for what purpose He had come. He knew. Friend, you and I can have that same peace and confidence when we're right with God. The scripture is very clear in telling us what to do. But the question Jesus asked the disciples, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? It really is a faith relationship that brings peace in the midst of the storm. Now, not only are these storms caused by willful rebellion, but friend, there are those who face serious storms in their life because of their walk with God. And I think about Job and all that Job went through. Job suffered tremendously. He suffered physically. He suffered relationally. He suffered emotionally. Job suffered spiritually. Job suffered. He struggled. Because he was walking with God in obedience. A man blameless and of integrity. And yet he suffered. I think about the Apostle Paul. Paul suffered so much. He gives a catalog of the number of times he had been beaten and shipwrecked, imprisoned, and he goes down about how many times he'd been rejected and kicked out of a city. He gives this catalog, and why? Because he was sharing the gospel. He genuinely cared for other people. And just because you love somebody and care for them does not mean that they're going to love you and receive you as you love them. Paul was rejected. He was rejected by the common man. He was rejected by the religious man. He was rejected by all kinds of people. But those who were broken and those who were hurting, those who could identify with Paul in all of his pain and suffering and rejection, those who knew rejection, they heard his message. And because he was willing to walk and remain faithful to God in the midst of a storm, God was able to do great things in the life of other people. He brought faith. He brought deliverance. Transformation of life was the result. Even through his pain and suffering, God was gracious and faithful in the midst of it all. But the storms in life, they're caused. There are consequences of our choices. Bad choices and good choices. And just because you choose to obey God does not necessarily mean that things are going to go well, right? Because the walk of obedience will create an air of rejection wherever you go. People will reject you because of your obedience to God. You become like a mirror to them, a reminder of who they ought to be and what they ought to do themselves. And they don't like it and they'll snuff you out, thinking they're doing themselves a favor. The scripture here tells the story of these men who faced wind and wave, wind and water, like many people today are facing wind and water. But the real storm was in their heart. It wasn't around them. It was inside them. Just like some of us here today, the real storm that we're facing is in our heart, in our mind. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with Jesus? That was the real question with these men. The very last verse, verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who can this be? Maybe today it's the day that you need to ask yourself that question concerning Jesus. Who is he going to be in my life? We know who he is. Are you willing to embrace him? That's the question. The scripture here not only talks about the issue of the storm, but it goes on and it talks about the challenge that this storm is to these men. When they realized that the winds were beating against them, the waves were beating against the boat, and the water was filling the boat, they were afraid. In verse 38, but Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They felt the fear of perishing. They were overcome. They were consumed by, will we live or will we die? They were scared. Look at verse 40. But Jesus said to them, why are you so fearful? Storms are a challenge to our life. Storms can be very demanding, can't they? They force you to address some real issues in your life. They force you to deal with life issues, life itself. Will you live or will you die? That is a legitimate question. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And if any man is in me, he will live forever. Though you slay me, though you kill me, yet shall I live. Can you say that? Do you know without question that you are saved? That your relationship with Christ is settled? Do you know with confidence and assurance that if you were to die today, that you would spend eternity in heaven? You see, the disciples, they were afraid. This really was a matter of life and death for them. And they had no assurance of their future. But you can. You can have assurance of your future. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus has the power to save. And when you and I are willing to admit with our mouth and agree with God about our sinful condition, that we are broken, that we are dead, and that we are doomed for eternity, when we can agree with God about our sin and our condition, then we're in a position to call upon Him to save us. And that's why Paul was able to say in Romans that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because you can't call on one that you don't truly believe in. And you're not going to call unto the Lord for salvation if you don't understand truly that you are dead and perishing. But if you do, like these men, do you think they decided, said, well, listen, don't wake Jesus? No. They understood their condition. It demanded action. And they took action, very specific action. They realized that they were perishing, and that's what they approached Christ with. But the point is, when they realized they were perishing, they went to Jesus and they woke him. And they said, Master, do you not care that we are perishing? They went to the right person. They were concerned about the right thing. And they received a most adequate response. Jesus didn't condemn them. He didn't rebuke them. He rebuked the wind and the wave. Some of you have been on the Sea of Galilee with me. And you look around and you see the hills and the valleys coming in. And you can understand how there's a constant risk of a storm, windstorm coming upon that sea. And you've been out there. Some of you have. And we've stopped the boat and just sat there. And we have a devotional time. And I always share this passage of scripture. Because when Jesus spoke, the wind stopped. But not only did the wind stop, the waves stopped. Now that is the miracle. Not that the wind stopped blowing, but the waves stopped rolling. Calm. And friend, you don't have to ride the waves of an incoming and outgoing tide. You can stand on solid ground. Solid ground. A firm foundation with the confidence of knowing that though you die, you shall live through Christ. Amen? Now that's part of what the storm teaches us, it can teach us here. That not only that they are causing, they are a challenge to us, but you know, they're demanding, but they're very dangerous, because the bottom line is, what will you do? Not only in the face of an oncoming storm must you decide what you will do, but even in the aftermath of the storm, every choice you make has life and death consequences. I'm thinking about some of our friends who are in Texas rescuing people from their rooftops and houses with their boats. And one of the boats went into a live power line that was down. And one guy, when he realized what they were doing, they were drifting into it, when he realized, he jumped out of the boat. Another guy went into the power line. He was electrocuted. You can't get careless. You've got to keep your eyes open, your ears open. You've got to think clearly. You've got to be wise. And in the midst of this storm, the disciples made the right choice. They went to the one who could actually help them. Will you go to the one who can actually help you? You see, these storms, they demand a lot from us. They can be very dangerous. Because with every choice you make, there's a consequence. This passage of scripture, on this very same day, when the evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." That is a destination for all of us. Today, let's together cross over to the other side. Let's make our way from where we are to where we know Jesus wants us to be. Now they did. They made their way. They got in the boat. They began their journey. And they faced a serious storm. It was demanding. It was dangerous. The bottom line is this. In verse 39, we're told, Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Friend, I don't care what storm you may be going through right now in your life. You name it. You name them. You may be going through multiple storms right now. You may be feeling very overwhelmed. And you say, well, it's really not that big of a deal, but is it a big deal to you? If it's a big deal to you, God cares about whatever that is. If it's a storm to you, if it has created waves of emotion and waves of thought that are dangerous and demanding and putting you at risk and forcing you to make some choices and decisions, that's a storm that Jesus is concerned about. Do you hear me? Jesus is concerned. And he cares. Well, let me tell you, Right here in this passage of Scripture, we're told Jesus calms the storm. You want Him to calm the storm in your life? He will. He can. But you must come to Him. You must ask Him, Lord, here's my storm. Would you speak and bring calm and peace in this storm? Do you need Christ today? You want Him to do a work in your storm? He will. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we ask this morning that You give to us the courage to acknowledge the storms we face in our life. Thank You, Father, for this story in the life of Jesus and the disciples, where they were willing to acknowledge a storm in their life. Father, I pray that for my friends here today, as they acknowledge their storms to You, Father, bring peace, bring calm with Your presence. Do Your work in their hearts and minds. Transform their lives in the midst of their storms. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. I'm asking you, are you going through a storm? Is there a reason? Is there a need for the master of the sea in your life? Is there a cause for Christ in your life today? A cause for which you need Him to come? A storm in the midst of which you need His presence? I can only share with you what the Scripture says. But it tells us what Jesus has the power to do in the midst of our storms. And if you will open your heart to Him right now, He will do a mighty work in your life. What is your storm? You need not tell me. Share it with Christ. Come, just kneel at this altar. Pray. Leave it with the Lord. Leave it. And trust it to Him. You want to take your stand with Christ today? You want to become a follower of Jesus, and you want Christ to be the Savior of your life? The ministers and I would love to share with you what the Bible says do to be saved. You say, well, Pastor, I've already prayed. I've asked Christ to save me. I'm ready to follow Him in believer's baptism. Come, share it with us. You may say, I'm a believer. I just want to be a part. I want to plug into what God is doing. And I want to grow and be a part of the work of God through this church. Come, share with us. We want you to be a part of our faith family. We're on mission. And mission number one, let's be right with God. And let's do it now. Come. Come this morning.
Change my mind.